I'm Carrie Bringhurst. Thanks for joining us during Morning Edition. Of course, it is our pledge drive. We're here to take your phone calls at 800-826-1495. One of the things we try to do here at Utah Public Radio is provide local news and information. And this morning, we're going to be talking with an artist whose work is featured on the Logan campus of Utah State University in the recently dedicated building, which houses offices for the Agricultural Research and Science Training Programs. The building is recognized for its energy efficiency. In fact, an entire side of the constructed building is made of glass to allow for a view of the mountains and to reflect a theme of nature. Inside the building hangs a sculpture that also reflects that theme, in this case focusing on the use of grass as inspiration. During today's UPR Newsline, a conversation with the artist commissioned to create and install that work, Tim Prentice.
They said expect to see something very, very subtle. I wouldn't call it a gentle space, and so this is something that makes it kinder and softer and friendlier, perhaps, as a balance against the space. It would be wonderful to have a plant in there, but the fact is the plant won't last and it requires maintenance and so on, so we made this sort of abstract metallic plant, which is what you might call a permaplant that doesn't need watering, and it's like a hanging garden, in effect, but it's man-made. The idea is to have it respond to the light that comes into the space, and, you know, because plants are heliotropic. But on the other hand, it reflects the light that's in the space. I was surprised that this space had less natural light and more artificial light than I expected. This piece is extremely light, almost gossamer, I would say. So even from some angles, it might almost disappear. It's a very thin curtain, basically, made out of very shiny, narrow tubes of polished aluminum, in a kind of matrix, and they're all angled in a way that suggests a plant and growth, and angles, as best I could establish an angle that would pick up the light coming down from the ceiling and so on. And, of course, as you move around the space in different views, you get different degrees of reflection. So the piece kind of comes and goes as you walk around the space, which is an effect I was hoping for, and I think that works fairly well.
That's right. As I first viewed the piece, I was underneath the piece.
Yeah.
So you don't normally see, like you said, something depicting grass from down below, from what it might look like if you, say, were an ant and you were within the grass looking up.
I guess from my point of view, the best angles are actually at the second and third levels, perhaps looking down at the piece. Obviously, we can't get it too close to the floor because people could reach up and, with the best of intentions, with curious fingers, could harm it. So it's a bit high off the floor, which is, I think we left it about 10 feet.
I did keep thinking, I wonder how they secured that. Is this going to fall? It looks very heavy. So let's talk a little bit about the installation process and how it was that you were able to secure that. You do have to do some math. You have to decide how much weight the beams can carry, and then you have to determine area and space and all of those things.
Well, actually, the weight is extremely light. The piece is 20 feet tall, 8 feet wide. That's a lot of square footage. But it only weighs 40 pounds, and it hangs from two points. I don't know if you noticed, but that keeps it aimed in the same direction towards the stair, so it can't turn 360 degrees, so that's not very much weight per point it was hanging from.
Right. You have to think about that ahead of time. How was this project, say, different from others that you have done?
This is a pretty abstract space. You know, there's no other decoration of any kind that I could detect in the space, except a lot of thought went into the choice of colors and so on. The stairway is the most decorative element in the space. So in a sense, that's competition to the eye. But every space is different. You know, if you're doing a building like this where the people work in it are going to come and go on a daily basis, perhaps for several years, it's very, very different than doing a piece in an airport, for instance, where people zoom through maybe once in their life or twice or three times in their life. But a corporate dining room or a space like this should reveal its secrets slowly over time to hold your interest for as long as possible.
How did you transport the pieces?
I have a studio in Connecticut. It's actually an old farm. It goes back to 1790, and the ice house, which I'm speaking to you from, is our shop. It's a very skillful and delicate craft. It has to be strong, it has to be light, it has to be kinetic, it has to move with the air currents in the space and so on. So we do it all pretty much ourselves. And then we box it up very carefully and ship it out there. And then put it all together on the spot. We don't put it together from scratch because there's always a difficult decision of how much to disassemble it. But it's all been built and put together here. Then we take it apart in sort of kit form and take it to the site. You have to do it very, very carefully, yes. We're thrilled to be selected, and we're very, very happy with the piece.
I've been speaking with Tim Prentice. He's the artist that was commissioned to create and install a sculpture in the recently dedicated Agricultural Research and Science Building at Utah State University in Logan. To hear more about Tim's work and the work here at Utah State University, be sure and join me next hour. We'll continue our conversation.